Hi, I'm Dave Plasko, and we're broadcasting live from Eisner Amper's Pivotal Tech Event here on Long Island, the center of the tech universe today in Westbury. Tell us who you are.
Phil Ruggiel. I'm the director of Launchpad Huntington, a co-working space and event space in Huntington, which is proud to have Eisner Amper as a sponsor of.
Okay, and what brings you to Pivotal today?
Because Long Island as a regional economy needs more focus. Events like this are really helpful in making that happen. It's something that Launchpad Huntington focuses on greatly with Eisner Amper. So when Eisner came to me and said, you know, we're going to do this thing, it's going to be in Westbury, it's going to be bringing people out from the city, it's going to be really showcasing what's going on here, I said, sure, we're in. So
what's the most groundbreaking technology that you feel was introduced in the past few years? And the flip side of that, what do you look forward to seeing in the years to come?
Technology from a Long Island standpoint, because there's so much going on here, I would say that some of the advances in areas like biotech, bioinformatics, for example, some amazing stuff going on with DNA that a lot of people aren't aware of. Pharmaceutical is another huge sector, but on the flip side of that are a bunch of really cool small startups doing interesting social media things, some great work going on with 3D technologies.
Yeah. Yep.
And, so for trends, I'm seeing more and more on the 3D side, more innovation on social media, and then the sciences, of course, are just constantly going to evolve.
Okay. Are there any particular elements of your business that you feel are ripe for disruption?
The way people work, the way people collaborate within an organization or within a co-working space is changing so rapidly, and it's heading in the right direction, but we're not there yet. There's a lot of pain points. Sure. I was just reading an article recently that kind of signified that although over 60% of America is in open co-working spaces, the productivity levels have dropped 15% because of it, because we haven't quite figured out how to do that right yet.
Yeah.
So in terms of disruption, that's an area that would greatly benefit from some innovative thinking.
Okay, well, great. Well, Phil, thanks for your time today. And
you're welcome.
Enjoy Pivotal.
Thanks, I will.
We're pleased to have Pia with us. Pia, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, your company, what your company does.
So I'm Pia. I'm a product engineer at Clear Vision Optical. We are a distributor of eyewear. And what I do there is I head up their 3D lab and 3D initiatives into manufacturing for eyewear as well as our prototyping.
What brings you to Pivotal?
So we're here to showcase a couple of our products as well as just kind of showcase what we do day in and day out at the office. So we have our 3D printer to show a little bit of what our prototyping looks like. We're going to be showcasing our Pogo Track eyewear,
okay.
Which is a camera-ready eyewear that you can put onto. It's a little mini camera size of like the length of three dimes that you can put onto your temple and actually record live video and take pictures.
What do you think is the most groundbreaking technology that was introduced in the past few years?
So I'm really a big fan of Facebook's Wi-Fi drones.
Okay.
So I don't know if you've heard about them,
but
they're little drones that are flying, or they're testing, they're kind of flying around everywhere, and they're beaming Wi-Fi down to remote spots to kind of connect the whole world. So even like remote places like Africa can get Wi-Fi and connect with people in New York.
Well, Pia, thanks for giving us a few minutes and enjoy the show today.
Thank you.
All right. We are pleased to have the folks from Refill. Gents, why don't you tell us your name, what you do, what brought you here today?
Sure. My name is Andrew Betleon. I'm the creative director at Refill.
I'm Jason Pessel, the CEO of Refill.
And I'm Patrick Knorton. I'm the COO of Refill, and that's with two E's, the extra E's for eco-friendly.
What brought you here today?
We're here to exhibit our product, and we'd like to show people, what Refill is. It's a network of water refill stations around town right now, just in Manhattan, where people can refill their reusable bottles with cold filtered water on the go.
What would you say has been the most groundbreaking technology that's been introduced in the past few years?
For us, I would say one that we actually take advantage of is similar to keyless entry. You see it in hotels, essentially using your phone to actually open your hotel door. You see that with Zipcar as well, using your phone to open your door. With Refill, you use your phone to actually activate our stations.
Yeah, I mean, that's what our focus, really. The bottled water industry is, some people call it the biggest marketing scam of last century. And it's certainly ripe for disruption, because what they're doing is selling you a product that comes out of your tap for the most part. They chill and filter it, but you're paying $2, $3, $4 each time for marketing, basically, and for wasteful manufacturing.
Now, is Refill, is it appropriately capitalized to achieve your next few milestones?
We're on our way. So we're actually raising a seed round right now.
Okay.
We have a lead investor. It's actually out on Long Island, the Long Island Angel Network.
Okay.
And so we're looking to close that round in the next, you know, in the near future.
Sure, sure. Okay.
And we're also crowdfunding now as well. And we reached our initial goal of raising 30K to put stations all across Manhattan.
Well, gentlemen, thanks for your time and best of luck. It sounds like a great idea.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Really appreciate it.
Pivotal.
Thank you.
Today we have with us Paul and Linda from MindYoke. Tell us about what your company does, what you do for the company, what brought you here today. Linda, why don't you go first?
MindYoke is a 3D animation studio.
Okay, cool.
And we try to keep ahead of the curve on new technologies.
Yeah.
So, for example, right now we're working on virtual reality and augmented reality.
Yeah.
My role is more of a creative director role.
Okay.
So I look at sort of the big picture of things, how our clients fit into the marketplace, what goals they're trying to achieve, what kind of person they're trying to reach, and how best to reach those people.
Okay. Well, Paul, why don't you jump in on here? What do you do at MindYoke?
What do I do at my... First of all, jumping, no one sees what we do, right? So I can do all I want. I'm the 3D animator.
Ah.
I've been doing 3D animation for over 30 years. Mostly my career was started in Manhattan, working for television and Madison Avenue. And in 2007, decided to start MindYoke, and really we cater to a particular niche, which is, you know, the B2B explaining complex... processes, products, virtuality completely takes over your mind and your brain's ability to know what's up, what's down, what's in front, what's behind. Augmented reality, a lot of people are familiar with Pokemon Go, it supplements the world around us. So we add things into the world that we're already in.
Yeah. Any elements of your business that are ripe for disruption? Any challenges that you see coming down the pike?
The biggest one is constantly having to redefine myself.
Okay.
So where I'm sort of crossing the bridge now from calling myself creative director to growth hacker.
Okay.
Because it's not enough just to come up with the creative ideas anymore. Mm-hmm. We have to really look at how to grow somebody's business, our client's business.
Well, folks, thank you for giving us a few minutes of your time, and enjoy Pivotal today.
Thank you.
Thanks,
all
Dave.
Right, appreciate it.
All right. We have Bob and Jessica from Sun Nation Solar Systems. Folks, welcome. Bob, what do you do for Sun Nation Solar Systems?
I'm a solar design consultant.
Okay.
I'm the one that folks contact when they want to go solar for their home or business.
Okay.
And I come up with the initial design for the home so they can offset their electric bill using solar electricity.
Okay. And Jessica, what do you do for Sun Nation?
I'm the director of marketing at Sun Nation. I've been there for about 2 years. I handle all the social marketing, digital marketing, traditional marketing events, and PR.
Okay. What would you say is the biggest threat or challenge that your industry is facing?
I mean, I would say, you know, from a marketing standpoint, that there's no such thing as bad solar, but there is some better than others.
Okay.
So I think there's a stigma right now. There's a bunch of national companies that their focus is on leasing solar systems and power purchase agreements.
Okay.
And sometimes it's not in the best interest of the consumer. We do about 95 to 98% purchase systems because there's a federal tax credit of 30%.
Yep.
That people are eligible for, and it actually makes it way more affordable in the long run when people purchase their solar.
Right now, solar enjoys favorable tax credit advantages.
Yeah, expand on that if you could.
Yeah. Right now, the federal and the state governments both provide a tax credit here in New York and on Long Island to help pay part of the solar system, maybe 30 to 40% of the solar system. And the rest can be financed, you know, through low-cost financing terms, 10, 15, to 20 years. And that's one of the things that I explain to folks over time. So right now there's a favorable treatment for solar, and a lot of people want to go solar, both residences and businesses, and governments for the most part, because it does help mitigate, you know, people's energy bills, and it is good for the climate. So we hope that continues on, that the environment is thought about.
Well, folks, thank you very much for your time, and enjoy Pivotal.
Thank you so much for having
us. Thanks for having us today.
All right. With us now is Jeff Hendler from ETS. Jeff, welcome.
Great. Thank you very much.
Jeff, tell us what your company does, your role in the company, what brought you out here today.
Sure. The company's ETS. The long-form version is Energy Technology Savings. Technology is our middle name. I'm the founder of the company and president. We were created by owner-developers of Class A multifamily buildings in the Northeast about 4 years ago. We are an engineering technology company. that is enabling owners to make leverage the value of Internet of Things devices, big data coming off their building, to enable their property management in real time through mobile applications, to have insights in managing buildings, operating their buildings more efficiently and at a lower cost.
What do you think is the next frontier for the Internet of Things? What's the Internet of Things 2.0?
Well, 2.0 is this concept of taking this rich available data, people call big data, but you have to find the relevant data and be able to sift through that data in a relevant way and have insights and react to those insights in real time. Now, there's different levels of that. There's some level where you want to have human interaction to set thresholds. You don't want, you know, the building can be intelligent and set, you know, thresholds on its own, or it can learn from the building in terms of when things are occupied, who's inhabiting it, and make its own determination and do it in a more artificial, intelligent way.
What piece of technology makes you say, wow?
The intersection of person, place, thing, and time that's happening right now because of IoT and connectivity is wow. And think about it. I can walk into a boiler room in a big multifamily, you know, complex, 40-story building. I'm a maintenance guy, right? The building knows I'm there. I'm a person that's in a place, and the building senses me because of my mobile device, mm-hmm. or I have some type of wearable device, a beacon, right? It knows the time of day of what's happening. Mm-hmm. Right? It might be a time to change a set point in the mechanical equipment, or maybe okay. there's a leak detection there, and it knows I'm there, and the building can now talk to me as a person and help me take action and, you know, avoid costs,
right.
and it's a big deal.
Okay. Great. Well, Jeff, thank you very much for your time, and enjoy Pivotal today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Great. Thanks. With us now is Camille from MarketBot. Camille, welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us, you know, about your company, what you do for your company, why you're here today.
Sure. So MakerBot is the leader in desktop 3D printing.
Okay.
So we believe that there's an innovator in everyone.
Okay.
That everyone should be able to bring their ideas to life very easily at a low cost.
Okay.
And that's the solution that we provide.
Okay.
We provide desktop 3D printing for educators, professionals, or anyone that's looking to bring their idea to life.
And what do you do for the company?
So I manage the Northeast Territory, so I support all of our resellers. So I'm here with PC University today.
Okay.
We partnered up with Sunrise STEM Camp. Because they're going to have a variety of our 3D printers in their summer camp to promote STEM initiatives.
And what brings you to Pivotal today? What are you hoping to get out of the event?
Well, we were just looking to expose everyone to the technology. STEM education is really important today. The reason why I believe it's so important is that 65% of the students that are in elementary school, by the time they enter the workforce, that job hasn't been created yet.
Okay.
So how to prepare them for that unknown future is by giving them access to technology that will give them skill sets that are general skill sets that are going to help them in any field that they choose.
Right.
A 3D printer is one of them. It teaches them problem solving. It teaches them to be creative and teaches them to be collaborative with other people, which will help them in any field that they get into.
Now, as far as the 3D printing industry, what do you think the biggest challenge or hurdle will be in the short term, let's say 1 to 3 years?
In my opinion, the biggest hurdle is going to be the design software. Because a 3D printer will print the 3D sculpture that you made. Now, the issue is that not many people are affluent with using 3D design software to be able to draw the things that come to mind.
Right.
So the biggest hurdle right now for it to become commoditized is for everyone to be able to bring their idea to life using their own software instead of downloading.
Right.
So once software companies make it as easy as Instagram to become an artist in photography, will you see more people using 3D printers at home because they're able to design something with a couple of clicks of a button?
Camille, thank you very much for your time and enjoy Pivotal today.
Thank you very much.
Okay.